צופים בירוק, שוב בגרסת Barking in Green. אנחנו עם אורח מפילדלפיה, אוהד מסור של קבוצת פיורנטינה שאיתה נתמודד בהמשך השבוע, אז אנחנו במיטב המסורת משוחחים איתו, ולמי שלא דובר אנגלית יהיה בערב גם פרק עם אסף אקרמן בעזרת השם, שיוכל לחשוף גם בעברית חלק גדול מהסודות שמאחורי היריבה של מכבי. אז אנחנו מברכים את אופר פרוסנר, את מתן גילור שכאן איתנו, וכמובן את האורח אוהד היריבה מייק מקורמק. Good evening, Mike.
Good evening, guys. How you doing?
We are doing great. We will be very happy to hear from you all the secrets behind the viola and be prepared for Thursday.
No, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it a lot.
Thank you for being on. So, Mike, first of all, would you mind introducing yourself? How did you become a viola fan? What was it about the team that you know lured you to it? You know, just about yourself a bit.
Yeah, you know, so I grew up in the Philadelphia area, which is in Pennsylvania in the United States. Like many people in Pennsylvania, I grew up actually a fan of American football, the NFL. And probably, let's say right around like 2010, I started getting tired of our football. The rules changed and you couldn't play as much defense. And I grew up as a defensive, you know, linebacker when I played football. So as that changed, I started watching the NFL less. And at that point, I really needed to find a sport or something to pass the time. And now keep in mind, I'm 6'1", I'm 250 now. You know, when I was in high school and college, I was 6'1", probably like 225, 235. So I've always been a big guy, you know. So I played soccer, you know, European football once in my life. And really, I understood that I needed to have a huddle, you know, huddle in the NFL where the linemen and everybody put their hands on their knees and you take a break and you catch your breath. Too much running for me. But as I watched soccer, I was amazed at the skill set, like the things that these guys can do with the ball at their feet. It was incredible. So I fell in love with the game instantly. Now, I grew up a 49ers fan with the NFL, which great team. I grew up a Yankees fan in baseball. Great team. I grew up a Notre Dame fan in college football. Great team. So at this point, I couldn't have another great team. You know, I wasn't going to follow Manchester United. I wasn't going to follow Real Madrid. So I wanted to find a club that I could get into and just enjoy for the spirit of the game. And my favorite city in the world is Florence. My opinion, the most beautiful city in the world. Their club, beautiful color purple. And at that time, it was coached by Cesare Prandelli, who's one of my favorite coaches ever. And just a beautiful game that they played, passing and scoring and shooting. So it was easy for me to fall in love with that club. And ever since then, I've dealt with all of the ups and downs and you know, just roller coaster of emotions that it is to be a Fiorentina fan, because we never seem to be able to get out of our way. So I decided to not follow a good team and chose Fiorentina, who's really caused a lot of anxiety and angst over the years.
You know, it's very romantic because the three of us, we were born to a father who was a Maccabi fan. So you had the chance to fell in love with the team.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've because I do journalism now as a hobby, you know, I've been able to meet a lot of people in Florence and I've interviewed players and coaches. I've interviewed the owner of our club. And every time somebody, you know, gets to sit down and have a conversation, they always ask, what's a guy from the States named Michael McCormick doing talking about, you know, Italian calcio? And it is, you know, I am not Italian. I have no Italian heritage. It's just that I fell in love with the city and traveling. You fall in love with the people. You know, I have family who are from Israel. I know Israelis travel a lot. So you understand how you can easily fall in love with a place and the people. That's what it was for me. And the actual team came after the people and the city. So romanticism, no doubt.
That's a lovely story. You know, in Israel, people fell in love with Fiorentina a lot in the 90s because of one player. You must know who that is.
Yeah.
The great Batigol. Yep. So you know, since you're an avid student of the club, I would imagine, can you tell us a little bit about it, the history, you know, what it's like, the club itself, and how it came to be, you know, it's still a big club in Italy, one of the big, I think, 8 or 9. So can you tell us about that?
Yeah, listen, we always try to make sure that we're part of the sisters, is what they call them over in Serie A. You know, real quick, I'll give a shout out to, as you mentioned, Fiorentina in Israel. We do have a Viola club in Israel. It's head up by a gentleman, really great guy, Yotam Shavit, who lives in Herzliya. And there are, you know, a few other members that have been there. And yeah, it goes back to Battistuta. I mean, you know, Gabriel Battistuta in the day, one of the greatest players of all time. And the fact that he was able to play at Fiorentina, like, today would never happen. But in the prime of his career, like, those are the glory years. Now, I miss those. You know, I'm fortunate enough to be able to be parts of a couple of Viola clubs with some older Fiorentina fans. So I've learned a lot of the history from them, not just like reading about it. So keep in mind, I became a fan in 2010. Our history is pretty bad, you know, since 2010. So, you know, being able to sit down with a lot of the old guys and learn the history from them, the romanticism of the game, and you know, Antonioni, I've met Antonioni, Giancarlo, who was a World Cup winner, and you know, didn't win much with Fiorentina, but stayed in the city because of the city being so beautiful. Gabriele Battistuta, who came in there, and you know, Rui Costa, like, those days were things that I've missed. So we've had a lot of history going back to the 50s and 60s. There was a lot of pride coming into the 90s, and then obviously we had a team that financially had some issues. Had to be relegated down to leagues. And then, you know, within 2 years, we're able to get back up to Serie A. That's when the Della Valle came in to own the club. And the Della Valle, you know, owners of a fashion company, Todd's Shoes. So it's not like they could throw a lot of money into it, but they were very passionate about the club. They did invest in the club. And, you know, for those first 10 years that they had it, it was a beautiful footballing experience. The passion between the ownership, the fans, the players really propelled them into a lot of success, European. You know, so, you know, talk about Bayern and Liverpool, you know, played them, beat a few of those teams over the years. For fans of that generation, it was definitely a sight to behold. You know, there were a lot of people who not only developed a lot of pride, but got a lot of satisfaction in it. You know, the later part of the Della Valle years, unfortunately, we turned into a self-funding team, had some issues in buying some players. So we went from a Champions League club for many, many years into almost a relegation battle year over year. You know, not the best coaching hires, not the best player personnel decisions. And, then you have the era where we are today in, you know, bringing in Rocco Commisso. So Rocco Commisso, famously from the United States, very, very successful gentleman, worth between $8 and $9 billion, which is a lot of money, purchases the club. You know, talk about romanticism. Guy who grew up in Calabria, the south of Italy, buys a club in Florence, you know, starts trying to have some success. You know, he's a very well-hearted person. My personal opinion is he hires the wrong people to lead the club, which is why we are where we are. So we have a lot of good things going, but go back to what I said, like, we always get in our way, and that's the same situation where we find ourselves right now. So, you know, all the way through, you know, when we were successful, the Della Valle years of the romanticism of the game again, to the frustration that you see a lot of the fans having right now under Rocco Commisso. You know, there's still a lot of hope for the club, still a lot of promise and progress, but a lot of people are really down right now, which is unfortunate.
Do you think if you would have won last year's final in the Conference League against West Ham, do you think it would be different? It would completely. Be, yeah? So how is this year? You know, you said people are down and maybe the atmosphere is not that good with the fans, but how is this year going on so far?
Yeah, so had we won last year, we would have gotten to the Europa League. The only reason that we are where we are still in Europe is because Juventus cheated and had to give up a European position. So we finished outside of Europe. And because they abandoned that spot, you know, slapping themselves on the wrist like Juve always does, and they get away from it. And by the way, thank you guys for beating them, which is my favorite thing ever. that's the only reason that we're in Europe having this conversation today is we got lucky because somebody finally caught Juve for cheating. This year, we had several articles and conversations, talking points. We're still a self-financing team. We've made nearly 70 million euros. Now, you guys, I think the last I looked at Transfer Market, have a team that's built around 26 million euros, right? Smaller team. Obviously, Fiorentina is bigger, but we made 70 million euros of profit over the past 4 years. So past eight transfer windows, we're profiting off of the players that we're selling, and we're not purchasing the better players. So that's why we are where we are. The fans are getting very frustrated with Rocco. Joe Barone is not making very good decisions. And a team that could, honestly, we were sitting in fourth place in December. You know, we dropped a lot, didn't purchase the players we should have in January. And you're seeing a lot of the signs coming back that's just driving negativity. And it shouldn't be that way. I mean, we're still in the top bracket. We're still in contention for the Coppa Italia. We're still in contention for Europe. Just so much negativity.
In Israel, we are very excited from every match against the teams from the continent. How do you look at the Conference League in a state that in every year plays some of the teams in the Champions League and in the Europa League and in the finals of these competitions? And do you think maybe the participating in the Conference League is one of the reasons you don't have enough success in the league because of many games during the year?
Yeah, our team was not built with depth going back to the summer transfer window. So as a result, you know, we have suffered in the league because we've been playing three and four fronts at times, which is not helping. However, I will say this, you know, the Conference League is one of the things that's really saved Rocco and the relationship between the fans because of where we finished last year. With that run, he bought himself a lot of favor. It's kind of dwindled now, but if he can make another run, get to the championship game, and even if he can win it, he will buy himself years of fan favor. Fiorentina right now, in my opinion, won't finish top seven in Serie A. So I think that they will probably prioritize the Conference League and the Coppa Italia. So you'll see, and even this past weekend, one of our best players this year, very underrated, Alfred Duncan, was left on the bench when he probably should have come in and could have helped us win the game where we ultimately got a draw, but he stayed on the bench. My guess is because we're saving him for this week against Maccabi.
Thank you. It's very interesting to see how, you know, usually Italian teams were very, I wouldn't say dismissive, but maybe that's the word of the Italian, of the European competitions and mostly focusing on the league. But it seems that maybe with the Conference League, it's given Italian teams more, more passion for the continental game. But you mentioned the team's worth, you know, our top signing, it's going to play hopefully in first if it doesn't get injured. Sometime it is $1.6 million or million euros. Sorry,
yeah,
it's the striker Piero, right, Matan? I'm not mistaken.
After we qualified to the Champions League last season, I think it raised something like more 100,000 euros, something like this. So maybe 1.7.
But this is the top signing. So I think it gives you a kind of a comparison between, you know, what the teams are worth. So can you maybe share with us what we'll see? Who are the players that we're going to see on Thursday starting in the 11?
Yeah, I'd imagine that we're probably going to see Belotti up top again. If what I think is the case that we are prioritizing this, Belotti will start up top. Enzola was the guy who was playing there prior to us loaning out Belotti. But, you know, it's just a bad situation for Enzela right now, just because he hasn't had success, and the pressure is just really mounting on him from the club, from the fans, and it's tough. So I don't think that this is the right game to march out Enzela. So I see Belotti up top. You know, Nico got a good run. We need Nico in order to play well. Kwame's still in, you know, he just got out of the hospital, but he came back from the African Cup of Nations with malaria. So I don't see him coming in. So that could be more of an Ikone situation. So Teal had an awful, awful game. So I don't think that he's going to run back out right now. You know, I can see Duncan and Arthur in the middle, which is a very good duo. You know, one can dribble and get out of anything. And Arthur, or I'm sorry, Duncan right now, I haven't seen a midfielder pass like Duncan is since my favorite player, Borja Valero.
You think Duncan will start and not Buenaventura?
So I think probably what you're going to see is Beltran over Jack at this point. So Beltran, Jack are kind of at this attacking midfielder position. And we bought Beltran as a forward, but as we've gone through the entire year, what we're finding out is he's a much better second striker, and put that into that category of that attacking midfield. So really, Beltran and Jack are the ones competing for the minutes, and I see this as a nice opportunity for Beltran to sit right behind Belotti. So in that one, then you have Ikone, Beltran, Nico in that three. Now you come back to the midfield. You're going to have some type of a Arthur Duncan look to it, and then the back. You know, it's anybody's guess what that's going to look like. Probably Ranieri, maybe Milenkovic. We haven't seen Lucas Martinez Quarta recently. I haven't been able to see anything if there was any injury news there. I know that there was some suspensions at times. So two of those three are definitely going to be on the pitch. Baragi, I can't imagine, is going to miss it, our captain. And then on the right, I would imagine probably Ferrione is going to be starting, who's a very seasoned, experienced player who I think is done great things since he's come over in January.
So I think Milenkovic will start because of its height and the strength against Piero. It's guess, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the formation that you envision that they probably play?
You know, we've kind of gone back and forth from a lot of things. You know, we've kind of lined up with that single forward up top. We've at times had two forwards at top. Right now, I think we're settling with a forward and then having two wings and a second striker, attacking midfielder, kind of playing in that next line. So that 1-3, then we're starting to move into the midfield, which, you know, again, changes depending on who we're playing. Because keep in mind, often when we're in a game, our tactics are to press up high, press often, control possession, and hope that it turns into an opportunity. Because there are games where we'll have 68% of possession, 70% of possession, but we'll only have like one shot on goal. It's incredible how ineffective and inefficient we are with all of this possession, with all of this press, to actually get a shot on goal. Now, you know, on our podcast, it was mentioned that you guys have given up quite a few goals recently. So that would make me think that all of that possession, all of that press, we may be able to get a goal or two early, which then may open you guys up even more. So that is probably what I would be worried if I'm Haifa right now.
I have to correct you. So in the last 10 league matches, we've given up 3 goals.
Is that it? Okay.
I think, right? 3 goals, I'm not mistaken. In the last...
Two of them where we were in 10 players because Piero got ejection.
Yeah. In Europe, we only gave up 1 goal in 2 games. And the odd game was a cup game where we fielded second team completely and we conceded 3 goals.
Okay.
So that might be... But actually, I think Maccabi's defense is maybe the strongest point. It has the strongest defense in the league for sure, and it might be one of the strongest defenses I remember in the team. We have a new goalkeeper, which is, you know, he came from the youth system. Šimić from Ascoli, he played in Italy, and he's been very good and supposed to play on Thursday, I believe, right?
Probably Goldberg's injured, so probably.
I go to Matan with my Maccabi Haifa decisions. He knows more than me, so that's how it works. Have you ever been to the Artemio Franchi, Mike?
Yes, many times. Your stadium is completely different than ours. we're super jealous of the stadium that you guys have. It's gorgeous.
That's the first time that we're getting, I think, this. You know, usually we played Juventus last year, we played Benfica, and we played this year. We had a few very nice stadiums, you know, that we visited, Bern and Rennes and I think Villarreal, but we haven't had a chance to go there. But and even Ghent, where we went, it was very beautiful. But the Franchi is very old, right?
Very old.
And you said that your owner has, you know, lots of very deep pockets. Very. Is there any intention of fixing the stadium or building a new one for Fiorentina?
So he's tried to build a new stadium in Italy. The bureaucracy is just too much to deal with. So actually, if you guys are traveling to Florence, you'll actually see that the stadium is just starting to get renovated. So the city, which owns the stadium, got money from the pandemic of all things. So you know, because everybody had to stay home and so many people got sick, Europe and Italy created pockets of money, of which the mayor of Florence took about 150 million euros of it to put it towards renovating the stadium. Again, you have an owner who wants to use his own money, but instead of allowing the owner who has $8 billion, which he wants to do, to build or renovate the stadium, the city is going to take money that was meant for the pandemic to renovate it. So again, you know, we don't have to get into politics by any means, but it's already starting to be renovated. It should look nice by 2026 is what they're saying, more likely 2027. Our 100-year anniversary is in 2026. So I know they're trying to get there. Italy's not a very efficient construction city and or country, so you never know. But yeah, you will notice some construction if you're over there.
Are there good bars to sit and drink beer before
Absolutely.
The match?
Now keep in mind, I've never been to Florence as an away fan. So in Italy, and I don't know if in Israel, but in Italy, you know, away teams are really sectioned into one area. And you know, some European clubs travel over and cause a lot of issues during some of the more recent matches that we've had. So they do a good job of separating that. But yes, you know, downtown, a lot of great restaurants, some good bars that you can go to, and then certainly, you know, drinking wine, having beer, they have all of it. Next to the stadium, quite a few great places. Not sure if I'd advocate for away fans to go to any of them, but a lot of great places to go for Fiorentina fans.
Okay, and do you think that fans from both teams will be able to go to the match because of the security issues with the Israeli now? When we went to Belgium, there was a game without crowd, and we don't know what's going to be in Florence next week.
As of now, I would venture a guess and say yes. Florence does a better job than certain cities in Belgium around mitigating some of that risk in advance. Florence has always done a good job as far as controlling fans and some of these issues becoming bigger. So I think that there's a very good chance that you guys are going to have a game that you're going to be able to attend, and I would hope so. And again, I've been to Florence many times. I have a lot of friends who are Jewish in Florence. You know, it's a very liberal city. It's not like some of those down south where they have a different stance. One of Europe's most beautiful synagogues is in Florence, which I've toured several times. So I think that while there may be some people that are always ignorant to what goes on, Florence is definitely a safe city for people to travel. And I hope that they keep the stadium that way as well.
Thank you. And do you think that fans from Florence are going to come to Budapest to our home game?
Yeah. You know, at this point, I think it's actually a longer trek for you to get to Budapest than it is for somebody from Florence to. depending on the time in which Fiorentina is playing, the fans will either protest, and they have had some matches of protests towards the ownership and the administration. I don't think that we're in one of those right now. I think that there's actually some calm. So I do think that you'll see that there's going to be, you know, whatever is allotted to be there, Fiorentina will fill it up. And Fiorentina is also one of the more boisterous, loud, singing, passionate fan bases out there. It's always a better game when Fiorentina has the away section than if it's empty.
This leads me to my next question that I always ask our guests. Can you do us the pleasure of singing a song that our fans might be able to hear when they come to the Franchi, and you know, like a good fan song that you like in Italian?
Oh, so, you know, my Italian is not the best. However, I highly recommend, and it is one of the better ones. There is a song that's called O Fiorentina, which every time we start a game, that's the song that they come out to. So, you know, keep in mind, we have a tunnel that goes from where the players get ready. So the two locker rooms are off to the northwest section of the pitch. Underneath is where they get ready. And there's a very, very long tunnel. I think, and the last that I was told, is that it's actually the longest tunnel for players to walk down in Europe. Beautiful, just beautiful. Like, we talk about the stadium being awful, but like that aspect of it is just so much history. You know, Antonioni and Battistuta and Costa, like you name it, like so many different people have walked down that hallway. So you walk down and then you come up to where the ultras sit in the Corva Fiasole, and the song just starts, and it's like an old school Italian song goes right into O Fiorentina, and it plays for the next like 3 minutes and whatever seconds it is. Absolutely amazing atmosphere. You know, you have the flares going and all the fans singing along to it. It's a gorgeous song, great experience. And typically, with a few exceptions, you know, Fiorentina fans are very respectful to everybody except for Juventus. So I'm hopeful that everybody will be respectful. There have been a couple incidents where, you know, a couple fans have and we have it like everybody else, where there have been racism and certain chants. But it's been isolated, but still, you know, thankfully it's all called out and people are kicked out and not let back in. So hopefully we're getting to a place in Florence, like everywhere, where everybody can come in and enjoy the game, unless you're a Juventus supporter.
So you mentioned, you know, the way that we beat Juventus last season and you got the kick out of it. What is the general expectations of the Fiorentina fans towards this game? I mean, we did beat Juventus, but we are an Israeli team, not the biggest team in Europe. So what are the expectations? Easy win, or like, what do you think?
I would say at this point, and you guys are a different team than you were even last year. You know, the situation that you guys had with, and I'm drawing a blank on his name, the player that spoke out and was
Saba.
Yes. My understanding is he was also one of your better players too. So, you know, you're definitely a different team than you were against Juve. You know, we aren't as good of a team against Juve, and we beat them from time to time. I think the expectation is Fiorentina on paper are definitely a much better team than Maccabi is. And I think, though, when you take a look at it, the optics around the teams are different. And, you know, being a former athlete myself, you know, when there's so much noise outside of what's going on the pitch, that impacts what's going on the pitch. So can the players sort through the noise on Fiorentina's end with a lot of the positivity that's going on with Maccabi? That's probably where the game's going to be played. So listen, if Fiorentina score first, I think that that's going to open up the game, where our press is going to take a lot more control and impact things. But if Maccabi can sit there and the defense, as you corrected, you know, if that defense can hold up and frustrate us, where we get hit is in trying to impact a defense that's set up and is lined up nicely and not letting us through, is on that counterattack. If you can get that counterattack, that's where there's an opportunity to have Fiorentina on the skids and go up 1-0. And once that happens, like, our mentality is we shut down and it's tough for us to make a comeback. So that's kind of the way I would look at it. But as far as, you know, what people are thinking, I think people are very optimistic coming into it that Fiorentina should be able to advance with this draw.
Not only Maccabi is not better as is not good as last year, but for us, the home stadium, especially in Europe, it's great atmosphere, yeah. Great atmosphere. And it lack this atmosphere, it's very significant. The second thing is that we are so tired because of the war. We play two times a week, yeah. from November until now, all the time. So we have a lot of injuries, very tired players, but I don't think the first leg will be so easy for Fiorentina. Right, she's favorite, she's much better team, but I don't think the first leg going to be as easy as maybe some of your fans think, but for the all competition, competitive Fiorentina will make it to the quarterfinal.
Yeah, listen, you know, nobody could put themselves into the everyday life of what's going on with yourselves and the players right now. I mean, that's, you know, you talk about the negativity of what's going around, you know, Fiorentina. You guys are dealing with a lot of stress day in and day out, playing two games.
Yeah, we played in Sunday. I go to the game on a uniform. Mm-hmm. So you understand the situation. It's very... I don't know how to say it. It's problematic.
Even for us, it's a little bit extreme.
Yeah, and I can't even imagine that. I mean, you know, when we have soldiers who go to a game, it's because like there's a military academy that's playing a football game, and they're representative of the school that they go to. You know, to go to a game knowing that you're serving your country in a, you know, ugly situation right now, like I don't even know how you think about it, but that's your escape from what's going on in real life. So you almost need that. Listen, I empathize. I send my best and all my thoughts and prayers for you guys. Believe me.
Thank you so much, Mike. We really appreciate it. And really appreciate the time that you spent with us this your morning, our afternoon, evening. It's been a pleasure. And I hope that when you do get to visit here after everything calms down, we'll get you a ticket to see Maccabi in a proper atmosphere, in a proper stadium.
And in green. I'll wear green.
Take your Eagles shirt if you still have it. I know that you're a 49ers fan, but, you know, for this one, we'll allow it.
Green with Larry Bird on the back.
Yeah. I'll pick up one of your shirts. Don't worry about it.
I do have to ask you, how does it feel to be a Yankees fan in Philly, but maybe not now, because I've been to Philly, and it's a harsh town, man. It's a... Nobody's smiling over there, but thank you so much. Good luck with the rest of the Serie A season, not on Thursday or next one. And Amit, do you want to close it in Hebrew?
Yes, of course. Thank you very much, Mike. תודה רבה לחברים, מתן ואופר. תענוג. We hope that it won't be the last chapter in English this season, because in every stage we are interviewing someone from abroad. So we hope to get to another city and place after the two matches against Fiorentina. And thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you much, guys. Again, stay safe, stay healthy.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
תודה רבה למאזינים, מוזמנים לשתף גם את הפרק הזה, אין תרגום ישיר, אבל אולי מישהו עם תמלול יצליח לעשות את זה, ובהמשך הערב פרק נוסף בהכנה בעברית למשחק ביום חמישי הקרוב, תודה רבה.